Welcome to American Dissident Voices. I'm Kevin Alfred Strom. When the prestigious establishment journal, Foreign Policy, whose audience is primarily the managerial elite of the regime in Washington, and which is owned by the same corporate entity that owns the Washington Post and headed by David J. Rothkopf, published an amazing admission a few years ago, hardly anyone noticed. The bombshell? Israel was once again caught running a false flag operation. A false flag operation is an act of war or terror in which the perpetrator pretends to be working for one nation or entity while really working for another, hoping that the pretended nation or entity whose identity was assumed will be blamed for the death and destruction and perhaps attacked in retaliation. Israel, whose intelligence service, the Mossad, has as its motto, "By way of deception thou shalt do war," specializes in false flag events. 9/11 was, at least in part, a false flag operation in which the Mossad was known to be shadowing the Arab hijackers and likely controlling them with a team of Israelis sent to document the event as it happened, which they did with evident jubilation, laughing and dancing as the towers burned and fell and Americans died by the thousands. And the result was a generalized hatred of Arabs among Americans, enough to jingo up the public to support two wars in the Middle East against Israel's enemies, wars which were disastrous for Americans, but wars which Israel and its neocon supporters had been salivating to start for years. The anthrax attacks, launched just a few weeks after 9/11, and likely a related operation, in which Americans died after receiving anthrax-tainted letters in the mail, have been shown to be another Israeli operation, one in which a white, right-wing, racist, domestic terrorist, Stephen Hatfill, was to be blamed, based on false evidence planned years in advance. The goal? To more firmly establish fear among the public, foster the acceptance of the surveillance security state and perpetual war on terror, and justify in the public mind hatred against the radicals who might warn them against such things. The vicious attack on the USS Liberty by Israeli planes in 1967 during the Six-Day War, in which 34 American sailors died, was also originally planned as a false flag event. According to the BBC documentary film Dead in the Water, recorded and other evidence suggests the attack was a, quote, daring ploy by Israel to fake an Egyptian attack, close quote, to give America a reason to enter the war against Egypt. The Israeli planes that first attacked the American ship had been repainted to carry Egyptian markings. Convinced that the attack was real and was coming from Egypt, President Lyndon Johnson, according to the documentary, launched nuclear-armed planes targeted on Cairo from a U.S. aircraft carrier in the Mediterranean. The aircraft were recalled only when it was discovered, almost too late, that Israel had carried out the attack. Imagine the number of lives that would have been lost if the Israelis had been more successful. Since the Soviet Union was supporting Egypt, the result could literally have been World War III. Another Israeli false flag attack was the 1954 Lavon affair, in which Israel literally used Mossad agents to impersonate Egyptians, and in the guise of Egyptians, to blow up American installations, American movie theaters, American restaurants, and American libraries. Israel's goal was to kill enough Americans to enrage the American public so the U.S. would oppose the Egyptian nationalist government then in power and possibly even go to war against Egypt. The Israeli plot, however, was thwarted because one of the bombs, being carried right on the person of one of the Jewish terrorists at the time, blew up prematurely. The terrorist lived, and so he was caught and made to talk. And then the whole plot unraveled. Eventually, the Israeli defense minister, Pinhas Lavon, had to resign over his role in the failed plot. If the Jews had been successful, their plot could have cost tens of thousands of American lives and countless billions of dollars, and would have caused the terrible injustice of war with a nation that had done absolutely nothing to harm us. In 2005, the Israeli Prime Minister literally gave medals to and praised as heroes the very same Jewish terrorists who plotted and actually tried to kill countless Americans. And yet, there was almost no coverage of that in America's controlled media. And needless to say, most Americans to this day have never even heard of the Lavon affair. Let's take a look at what Foreign Policy magazine revealed in 2012, and which passed almost entirely unnoticed by the popular press. Quote, Israeli Mossad officers recruited operatives belonging to the terrorist group Jundallah by passing themselves off as American agents. According to two U.S. intelligence officials, the Israelis, flush with American dollars and toting U.S. passports, posed as CIA officers in recruiting Jundallah operatives, what is commonly referred to as a false flag operation. Jundallah, according to the U.S. government and published reports, is responsible for assassinating Iranian government officials and killing Iranian women and children. The memos also detail CIA field reports saying that Israel's recruiting activities occurred under the nose of U.S. intelligence officers, most notably in London, the capital of one of Israel's ostensible allies, where Mossad officers posing as CIA operatives met with Jundallah officials. It's amazing what the Israelis thought they could get away with, the intelligence officer said. Their recruitment activities were nearly in the open. They apparently didn't give a damn what we thought. Interviews with six currently serving or recently retired intelligence officers over the last 18 months have helped to fill in the blanks of the Israeli false flag operation. In addition to the two currently serving U.S. intelligence officers, the existence of the Israeli false flag operation was confirmed to me by four retired intelligence officers who have served in the CIA or have monitored Israeli intelligence operations from senior positions inside the U.S. government. There is no denying that there is a covert, bloody, and ongoing campaign aimed at stopping Iran's nuclear program. Many reports have cited Israel as the architect of this covert campaign, which claimed its latest victim on January 11th, when a motorcyclist in Tehran slipped a magnetic explosive device under the car of Mostafa Ahmadi Rohshan, a young Iranian nuclear scientist. The explosion killed Rohshan, making him the fourth scientist assassinated in the past 2 years. Close quote. In this case, the Israeli false flag was designed to enrage the victims, against the United States, who would be blamed for supporting and encouraging the Muslim dupes' murders and violence actually instigated by the Mossad. One Israeli goal, besides the obvious one of killing Iranian scientists, would be to goad Iran into actually attacking U.S. facilities, thereby bringing about the U.S.-Iran war so long and fondly dreamed about by Israel's leaders. A war with the potential of killing hundreds of thousands, if not millions. The Jewish wars we have been fighting in the Middle East continue. CIA drone attacks, the so-called War on Terror, and U.S.-Israeli sponsorship of Muslim terror groups because they help to bring down strong Arab governments. All of these things are part of a wide and bloody war that the crazies in Tel Aviv have been instigating and escalating for almost half a century now. Some may say it is unfair of me to call it a Jewish war, but I assure you I am not exaggerating. From the nonsense scriptures that underlie it, to the media liars who promote it, to the neocon element in government that implement it, it is Jewish on every front. Jewish media moguls and change agents were the driving force behind the change in our immigration laws in Britain, the United States, and all over the white world, which has allowed a flood of potential terrorists and criminals access, free access to our nations, our infrastructure, and our people. The same Jewish supremacists are behind the massive psychological warfare campaign against white people, which has disarmed us in the face of this invasion and made too many of us afraid to speak out, or made us believe that it is somehow wrong to oppose this invasion, this ethnic cleansing of whites from our homelands. This genocidal flood also has its own false flag aspect. The flood of the Jews' ostensible Muslim enemies into the West was actually facilitated almost entirely by Jews. One goal among many? Force Westerners to have a Muslim problem, just like Israel, to encourage us to fight Israel's wars for her as her cannon fodder. The Jewish-led neocons were and are the architects of the Middle East war, which they are now drooling to extend to Iran, at the cost of how many more lives we do not know, and they do not care. And we now know that Jewish intelligence operatives were up to their ears in 9/11. And used their cold cost-benefit analysis to come to the conclusion that letting it happen, or making it happen, was the best thing for the Jews, since it pushed us into war against their enemies. And they have been deeply involved in the instigation of terror and other attacks on America, including the Levant Affair and the USS Liberty I just mentioned. They have been known to run Islamist terror cells themselves, such as the Achille Lauro hijackers, and their traces are quite evident in the anthrax attacks as well. This decades-long bloody lie-fest and killing spree by the Zionist crazies is getting so bad and so out of control that even some members of the Jewish power structure, such as the establishment Jews at Foreign Policy magazine, have outed some of the crazies and thrown them to the wolves. But we shouldn't deceive ourselves and think that the Jewish power structure is going to self-regulate to the extent that everything will be all right. No, the more sober Jews want to curb Zionist excesses, true, but not because doing so would be good for Western civilization or whites generally. Such reasoning is alien to them. Their reason is because reining in the more over-the-top bloodthirsty Zionists is good for the Jews. Good for the Jews in the same way that dispossessing white Americans and Europeans and making us a minority in the countries we founded and ultimately exterminating us is also good for the Jews. To stop the escalating wars in the Middle East, to stop the flood of Muslim and other non-white immigrants into the West that threatens our very survival, to stop the threat of terrorism that is caused by these wars and this immigration, to end the financial chicanery that has impoverished our people, it is necessary to separate ourselves from the Jews. This does not mean any unreasoning hatred of Jews, as their propagandists suggest. It is merely necessary to rationally see that Jewish interests are not our interests, that Jewish interests, as demonstrated by their own repeated actions, are in fact diametrically opposed to our interests, and that the attainment of Jewish goals would mean our death. People who pose as Americans while soliciting the murder of another nation's scientists are not our friends and allies. People who impersonate members of another nation's air force while shooting and bombing our sailors, hoping to start a war in which millions of Americans could be killed, are not our friends and allies. People who plan to kill innocent Americans on a mass scale with bombs, hoping to start yet another war, are not our friends and allies. The people who were complicit in bringing down the Twin Towers, successfully and cynically using the deaths of Americans to set us on a horribly disastrous war path that has still not run its course, are not our friends and allies. People who send deadly germ warfare particles through the public mails and kill Americans are not our friends and allies. America is the abused spouse in the unholy marriage of the U.S. and Israel, the spouse who refuses to see the horrible reality of her own abuse and the sick, twisted mentality of her ugly abuser. The National Alliance is America's wake-up call. Wake up and get out before it's too late. It is necessary to separate ourselves from the Jews, now and forever. You've been listening to American Dissident Voices, the radio program of the National Alliance, founded by William Luther Pierce in 1970. This program is published every week at whitebiocentrism.com and nationalvanguard.org. You can join and support us by visiting natall.com. That's NATALL.com. Or write to National Alliance, Box 172, Laurel Bloomery, Tennessee, 37680, USA. We welcome your support, your inquiries, and your help in spreading our message of hope to our people. Once again, that address is Box 172, Laurel Bloomery, Tennessee, 37680, USA. Until next week, this is Kevin Alfred Strom reminding you of the words of Richard Berkeley Cotton. Freedom is not free. Free men are not equal, and equal men are not free.
For blood and for soil, we will work, we will toil. Heaven is born on the earth. The heroes arise as we shout to the skies. We will now have our rebirth.